To some other news now, and it's the worldwide disaster that was feared but never happened. This time, 20 years ago, many Australians were relieved to wake up to life as normal, despite predictions of chaos caused by the Y2K computer glitch. Newly released cabinet papers from the time offer insights into just how concerned John Howard's government was. Here's political reporter Jade McMillan.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
Lou Bega's smash hit was high on party playlists across the country as 1999 came to an end.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride.
But as the nation counted down, there was a nervousness about what the new year might bring.
3, 2, 1,
Y2K, or the Millennium Bug, was a computer glitch, feared to cause chaos when the date switched over to the year 2000. The Federal Treasurer at the time, Peter Costello, recalls he was on alert.
There was a level of anxiety that the financial system would collapse. People thought maybe computers would not work, or airlines were going to drop out of the sky.
Cabinet papers from 1998 and 99, released by the National Archives today, reveal the worst-case scenarios considered by John Howard's government. Australia was thought to be well prepared. However, ministers were warned of international security risks and civil unrest if systems collapsed overseas. And as some at home worried about what Y2K could mean for them,
the games will shut down, programs will shut down.
The government focused on preventing people from hoarding cash, fuel and food.
We had a situation room in the Reserve Bank because our financial markets would be the first affected, and we would be able to see whether or not the payment system of the world had crashed. And so, you know, I was getting reports out of this situation room at 12:15, 12:30. You know, all quiet, all quiet. Nothing seems to have happened.
Australia escaped the Millennium Bug unscathed, but the government faced another test as the Sydney Olympics approached. Cabinet was warned of risks to the game, such as nuclear, biological and chemical threats. And with large protests expected, ministers were urged to adopt a careful media strategy to prevent unfavourable international coverage of domestic matters like Australia's record on Indigenous issues. The government hoped the Olympics would provide a major boost to Australia's image and tourism industry, but the biggest shake-up to the economy would come through an overhaul of the tax system.
The centrepiece is a goods and services tax of 10%.
3 years after vowing never ever to introduce a GST, John Howard put the plan to voters at the 1998 election. The coalition scraped through, but the tax plan still faced another hurdle in the Senate.
I cannot.
Without support from Tasmanian independent Brian Harradine, the government was forced to negotiate with the Democrats, and fresh food was made exempt. Peter Costello says he's amazed the 10% rate hasn't increased since and doubts changes of that scale will ever happen again.
It was the mother of all tax reform, and it's not repeatable, and I wouldn't want anyone else to go through it.
On the international stage, the Howard government played a key role in encouraging the referendum for independence in East Timor. And despite concerns about the potential for conflict with the Indonesian military, Australia led a peacekeeping mission headed by a future Governor-General, Peter Cosgrove.
Vote yes for our republic.
A referendum here in 1999 asked whether Australia should become a republic. John Howard voted no, and a man who went on to become Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, didn't hold back when the Yes campaign failed.
He was the Prime Minister who broke this nation's heart.
The environment was also in focus as ministers discussed how to meet Australia's obligations under the Kyoto Protocol. The agreement was signed in 1998, although it wouldn't be ratified until Kevin Rudd came to power in 2007. For John Howard's government, the debate over climate change was only just starting to heat up.
Jade McMillan reporting.